Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, a message from God's Word brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message in its entirety again, to download it, or to choose from a variety of other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, log on to WGCRpreaching.net.
2 Kings chapter number 4 tonight. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? And what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil was stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let the church say, Amen. Our Father, we thank you so much for what our eyes have already seen, what our ears have heard, and what our hearts have felt. There's just something special about being in church. There are a lot of places in Asheville where we could go. There are sites that could be seen. There are restaurants with great food. There are memorials and landmarks that have great historical value to them. But on this Friday night in the month of July in 2017, the place where you would have us be tonight is in church. Now, Father God, I pray, God, that as your vessel, you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. We're not here by accident. We're not here by coincidence. We're not here by happenstance. You have formed us, shaped us, molded us. You have brought us here, ordained this day as a point in time in eternity. You have a plan, you have a purpose, you have a will, you have a destiny. And as we heard a few moments ago, wherever there is for us, we want to be there tonight. So use me as I handle the word of God, and may I do it in such a way that brings honor and glory to your name. We'll give you all the praise that you're worthy of in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Let me say before I get started in the message, I'm glad that I'm saved. Let me say that again. I'm glad that I'm saved. I didn't get saved because my daddy is a preacher. I didn't get saved because my mama said my head was shaped like a preacher. I didn't get saved because my grandmother was a praying woman. I didn't get saved because I was born in a Christian home. I didn't get saved because I was baptized at a young age. I didn't get saved because I did good works. I got saved by the grace of God. I got saved because I was washed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm saved today. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Ghost is my Comforter. The Word of God is my Guide. And heaven is my home. I'm glad I'm saved today. I haven't spent a lot of time in Asheville. I'm here normally for just a little time. But I would dare say I'm not a prophet. I'm not a psychic. I could go downtown to the streets of Asheville and meet fellow Christians. I'm talking about those who've been saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood, indwelt by the Holy Ghost of God, led by the Word of God, and headed for the city of God called heaven. I guarantee you, I could have a conversation with the people in Asheville. I could have the same conversation with saved people in Washington, D.C., where I'm from. I could go to your city, your town, whether it's a thriving metropolis or whether it's a rural place, whether it's in the city or whether it's in the sticks, I could have a conversation nation, which saved people in any place, in any language, in any culture, in any country, and every single one of them that has been saved for any length of time would have to agree on this truth: the God that we serve provides. Let me say that again. God provides. We just heard a few moments ago in the life of Elijah how God provides. Listen to me now, the lost folks in this world, they wouldn't understand that. They don't understand the peace that God gives. They don't understand the joy unspeakable, full of glory. I wonder sometimes how they get up every day, live in this wicked world, watch the news that we watch, look at the prophecy being fulfilled, battle the difficulties in life without a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how they do it, but I know if they don't soon meet Christ, they're going to perish and die in a devil's hell. Those of us who are saved by the grace of God, whether it's been good times or bad times, the ups, the downs, and the all arounds, we've experienced in our time as being children of God that the God we serve provides. Glad tonight he provides. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we're reading a story where once again, God is doing what he does best, providing. I want to tell you why I'm preaching on this tonight. Because everywhere I go, every pastor I talk to, every church I'm in, every conversation just about that I have with a Christian, God's people are in desperate need of some provision from God. Many of you tonight need God to provide some things in your marriage. You need God to provide some things in your finances. How many of you can represent your hand, raise your hand tonight and say, in some physical way, either you or somebody in your family, you need God to provide some healing. Would you raise your hand? Many tonight need God to provide some help for a rebellious child. You need God to provide a spouse as you wait on the Lord in singlehood. You need God to provide a job. You need God to provide some things that you haven't shared with anybody else. I want to tell you tonight, the God we serve owns a cattle of a thousand hills. All the gold and silver in the world belongs to him. And if we used it all up, he could make some more. Amen. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, ever at the same time. He's immutable. He can't change. He's eternal. He was, he is, he has, and he is to come. He wasn't created. He was the creator. He put the sun in space. He put the moon in place. He put the stars that cannot be counted. He, my friend, made the mountains, blasted them with daffodils. He put the seas, put the fish inside of them. And then that same God took from the dust of the ground, formed man, breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That same God will provide. I want you to look at this story with me tonight, because I want to tell you to hold on. Hang in there. God provides. Turn to your neighbor beside you and say, God provides. No, turn the other way and say, God provides. Now, you better believe that, because if the devil can get you doubting that, you'll do some things you regret. God provides. I want you to notice the desperate individual in this story tonight. The desperate individual. Her emotional position was her son had died. Her economic plight was that she had no money. And her extreme predicament was that the creditors were coming to knock on her door and take her sons from her. I want to tell you, if ever somebody in the Bible was desperate, it was this lady. Her husband was gone. He was a good man. She was grieving that loss. She had no money. The creditors were knocking on her door. They were going to take her two sons as a payment for her debt. She was desperate tonight. But the desperate individual found out that you're never too desperate that God can provide. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, preacher, you just don't know how bad it is. I'm sitting in the service tonight. I got a smile on my face. I'm acting like nothing's going on. But back home, back in the crevices of my mind, back in the corners of my secrecy, there's a burden. There's a situation. There's a scenario. I'm so desperate. I'm so emotionally distraught. I'm so far down. I don't even think God can hear my prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, you must not know the God that I know. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let me tell you something. being a Christian means you're going to heaven. It means you got the Holy Spirit. It means you're washed in the blood. It means the Bible will help you. It means you're guaranteed the promises of God. But it doesn't mean you'll never get desperate.
That's good.
Yeah. She was a desperate individual. I want you to notice, secondly, there's a direct inquiry. She said, man of God, I'm in trouble. I'm desperate. He says, you're desperate? Let me give you a direct inquiry. What shall I do for thee? Amen. It's almost as if he's saying, you got a money problem? I'm a preacher. What do you think I'm going to do?
Amen, that's good.
Now, he wasn't being condescending. He wasn't being dismissive. He just wanted this lady to know, you may be talking to me, but the one who's going to meet your need is Almighty God. Right. By the way, preachers, we're not here to solve problems. We're here to point people to the problem solver. Amen. Amen. What can I do for thee? In other words, you've got to have an admitted desire, man. You've got to know that when you're desperate, don't look to a man. Don't look to your spouse. Don't look to your preachers. David said, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord shall lift me up. But thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. If you're desperate tonight, that doesn't mean you're in sin. If you're desperate tonight, that doesn't mean you're not saved. If you're desperate tonight, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with your Christianity. But if you're desperate tonight, you better know to lift your head up to the one that can provide. There had to be an admitted desire. What shall I do for thee? But I want you to notice the availability discussion. What hast thou and how? First question, what you think I'm going to do? Second question, what you got? Well, I don't have much. No.
Come on, preacher.
I didn't ask you what you didn't have.
Right.
What you got?
Amen.
See, we're good at evading the question. What you got, man? Well, I don't have a lot. God's not interested in what you don't have. He wants to know, what do you have? Well, I got a pot of oil. We can work with that. Here's God's question of you tonight. What do you have in your house? What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your heart? Oh, preacher, I want God to provide. Oh, yeah, he will. But let me tell you something. Before you want something else from him, you got to give him what you already have. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Moses, what do you have? I've got a rod. David, what do you have? I've got a slingshot. Lad, what do you have? I've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. You may be sitting here tonight saying, I'm desperate. I'm so sick, I can't heal my body. Yeah, but you got an ability to pray. You may be here tonight saying, I'm so broke, I can't pay attention. Yeah, but you can bring God your 10% tithe. You may hear tonight say, I got a son that's so rebellious, I can't make him come back. No, but you've got a Bible that says, if you call unto God, he'll show you great and mighty things. I don't know what you don't have tonight, but God said, what do you have? Tonight he wants to have an availability discussion with you. Everybody wants to talk about what I don't have. Kind of like old Rufus and Leroy sitting around talking. And old Rufus said, man, Leroy, he said, if you had $1 million, would you give me half of it? Leroy said, sure, Rufus. And if I had $1 million, half of it, $500,000 would be yours. He said, oh, Rufus, if you had 2 Cadillacs,
Would you give me one? He said, man, Leroy, if I had two Cadillacs, one of them Cadillacs would be yours. He said, oh, Rufus, if you had two mansions. He said, would you give me one? He said, if I had two mansions, absolutely, I'd give you one of them. He said, oh, Rufus, if you had two hogs, would you give one? Rufus said, hold on, man. You know I got two hogs. Don't be asking me for that. Could I tell you we're good at promising God everything we don't have? We're good at telling God what we give him if we had some more. Some of you are saying as soon as he blesses you with a bunch of money, you'll start paying your tithe. As soon as he gives you a good husband, you'll start selling out to God. As soon as he moves you from that situation you don't enjoy being in, you'll start living for God. Can I tell you, God doesn't want you when things get right. God doesn't want something from you once you get really blessed. God doesn't want that stuff from you once he pours out a blessing. God wants you right where you are, sitting on that little bit. It may be two mites, it may be a rod, it may be a slingshot, it may be, my friend, just a little bit, but God said, I'll never give you what I've got till you give me what you've got. What's in your hand?
There's a desperate individual. There's a direct inquiry. Number three, they're detailed instructions.
Somebody say, God provides.
Yeah. But you got to obey his instruction. Okay, ma'am. You got one pot, huh? With oil in it. Well, here's what you do. Go borrow vessels of all your neighbors. Empty vessels. And borrow not a few.
Amen. That's old English for get a bunch of them. Get a bunch of them. Detailed instructions, first of all, always involve personal aggression. In other words, ma'am, you can't produce oil. Ma'am, you can't produce money. Ma'am, you can't satisfy those creditors. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can get out that house. You can knock on some doors and you can beg those neighbors. And I don't want you to be slothful. I don't want you to be slack. I don't want you to be lackadaisical. I want you to be nonchalant. I don't want you to be complacent. Whatever you've got in your hand and ability you have in your power, you're going to have to exemplify some personal aggression. You got to give it the best you got if you want God to provide. You can't save your loved one. You can't heal your body. You can't change what's going on in the world, but you can pray. Pray aggressively. You can give. Give aggressively. You can't save soul, but you can knock on doors aggressively. You can't produce a ministry, but you can study aggressively. Wherever you are, get aggressive.
Personal aggression. And then he said, after you get them pots, bring them in the house and shut the door. Personal aggression, and then private attention. You can get all the help you want from everybody else, but when it comes time to see this miracle happen, it's between you and God. Shut the door. Can I tell you, you want God to provide? You have to have some times where you get away from everybody else and get in a spot, get there, amen, and shut the door.
That's good,
preacher. Amen. I'm all for group invitations, and I'm all for coming to the altar and holding hands. But every once in a while, we got to break up the circle, quit singing kumbaya, and get somewhere with God by ourselves and determine if God's going to show up for me. He needs to show up in a place where I know it's true, where I know it's legitimate, where I know it's not a fairy tale. Guess what, mama? See you later. Guess what, friends? See you later. Guess what, church member brethren? See you later. God is about to do something for me, and I'm coming in the house and shutting the door. Personal aggression, private attention, persuaded activity. What's the persuaded activity? Well, you're going to borrow a bunch of them, and you're going to pour oil in all of them,
But you only got one pot. You think this woman had to have some faith? I'm saying if she didn't have faith, she'd have never sent the boys to get pots. Somebody say, God provides. Not if you don't have faith. I'm waiting on God. He's waiting on you.
Right.
I'm just waiting. God, give me a husband. I'm tired of being a single girl. I got the dress. I got the colors. I got the bridesmaids. Where's my husband? Where's your faith? God, I want to go in the ministry. I want you to use me. I see my preacher going to Israel and going on crusades and his picture all over flyers. God, use me like that. Hey, let me tell you something. There was a time when Dr. Sexton had to trust God. Everybody wants the product. Nobody wants the process. By the way, he still has to trust God. Where's your faith? God, I'll borrow the vessels if you show me the oil first. Lord, I'll follow thee whither thou goest. Oh, I've heard a lot about you. You're great. And wherever you're going, I'm going too. I can hear Jesus. I mean, this is 21st century. For real. Foxes have holes and birds have nests. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know where I'm sleeping tonight. Lord, on second thought, I'll go find something else to do.
Amen, preacher.
See, unless Jesus could give him his accommodations, he wasn't willing to follow Jesus. Come on. Did I drop that money right there? Well, that was a bribe to get you to listen to me tonight. You didn't pick it up, so you're on your own, buddy. How many times have we been waiting on God to pour something into our lives when God has been waiting on us to get some vessels for him to pour it into? Somebody help me preach. Listen to me, you can't heal your body of cancer, but you can get on your knees. Come on, you can't get that boy to love God. You can't force that teenage girl to fall in love with Jesus. But early in the morning before the sun rises, you can meet God and say, what I cannot do, I believe you can do. And when you do pour down the oil, I'm gonna make sure I got some pots for you to pour it in. I'm saying, preacher, you may have 20 people in your church. You may be wanting 200. You may say, God, I want you to build this church. But until he gives you 200, you preach 20. You preach that sermon to those 20 like it was 2,000 there. You knock doors like you're living in Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. You get up every Sunday and preach to that crowd like it's the biggest crowd in the world. And you trust by the grace of God, if a God who set the sun in space and the moon in place could put you in this world, make something out of nothing, sure enough, he can pour some oil into those pots. Wow. Persuaded activity. Ma'am, I want you to fill all those vessels up. And she never said, with what? I wonder if there's some Christians you're still stuck at. Go borrow what? Once there's a young man in the building, you'd surrender to preach. If God would lay out how you're going to pay for Bible college, who you're going to work for the day you get out, and what your ministry is going to look like 10 years from now, could I tell you, you're going to have to do more than drawing up on some napkin, sitting at Dairy Queen drinking a Blizzard, and think it's going to come true. Listen to me, young lady. You may see preachers up here on a prayer card with a beautiful wife and precious children, and you may dream about it. You may pick your wedding colors, and you may think it's all going to work out good, but there's a whole lot more to a godly home than dreaming it up and talking about it at 2 in the morning with your girlfriends. There's some persuasion that has to take place when you can't see it, you can't understand it, when it's not in the flesh, and it's never been fulfilled. will. You've got to have faith. Faith, my friend, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Noah had never seen rain, never built an ark, but by faith he built that ark. And ladies and gentlemen, if you can't borrow before the oil, don't be looking for the oil afterwards. Preserved abundance. Instruction. Pour it. Fill them up. That's what I want you to do. But then he said, set that aside which is full. As a pastor, I'm discovering people struggle with this point. Okay, God, I need you. Pour it in, God. I believe you. God pours it in. And then after he pours it in, they use it on something else. Could I tell you something that God established way before we ever heard about 10% of all thine increase? It was this principle. You always set aside something for me. All those trees in the garden. I hear people say, I don't believe in tithing. That's Old Testament. It started with the law. It started way before. It started in the Garden of Eden. You can eat off of every tree. But that one right there, that's mine. God's always reserved a portion for himself. You know what? As Christian people, raise your hand if you know we're blessed people. Here's the problem. We have spent up our blessings on other things besides God's glory.
That's good.
God said, when I bless you, remember where you got it from and set it aside. Set it aside. Our children are from God and they belong to God. Our jobs are from God and they belong to God. Our talents are from God and they belong to God. Our time is from God and it belongs to God. Ladies and gentlemen, our treasure is from God and it belongs to God. Shame on us if all we have was one pot and God fills up a bunch and we use it up on somebody else. God provides desperate individuals, direct inquiries, detailed instructions. Number four, I like this part, divine intervention. That's when God gets involved. How many say, man, I need God involved in my life? Come on, say amen. Divine intervention. Why did it happen? Because of proper obedience. She did exactly what God said. And when she executed proper obedience, God showed up with the providential outcome. Every time she poured, there was oil. Every time she poured, there was oil. There was a perpetual overflow. And listen to me, everything she needed, God sustained for. The Bible said that the oil stayed. I said the oil stayed. I said the oil stayed. Stayed. By the way, it didn't say that it kept on flowing. The Bible says it stayed. That meant every time she went back, there was oil there. Every time she returned, there was, listen to me, I found out some things about people. You can have friends one day and go back the next day, they're gone. You can have supporters one day, go back the next year, they're gone. You can have well-wishers one day, turn back the next day, they're gone. But if you've ever walked hand in hand with God, every time you go back to where God provides, you find out his provisions stay.
Wow. What are you looking for? By the way, there's a particular observation here. She got as much oil as she borrowed pots. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, talk to me, that's really also real. Well, God's kind of been,
little skimpy with me lately. Shh. Don't tell nobody. Because by saying that, you're letting us know how skimpy you've been with him. Shh. Keep that under wraps. Haven't seen him answer any prayer. Stop telling your business. The Bible said, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm not saying that sometimes God doesn't give you the answer you want, but God always answers. Maybe the reason why you have such little oil in your life is because you borrowed so few pots. I have folk come to the preacher and say, preacher, I need to talk to you. But I got a lot going on. Watch this now. I need to talk to you right now, Brother Randy. Right now. What are you doing? Can you meet me right now? I'm so burdened. Sometimes it's 3, 4, 5 hours. They need help. And then that's on a Friday. That Sunday, that 5 hour time taker doesn't show up at church. And the next week, preacher, I need some counseling. I hate to bust your bubble, bucko, but I will not be using my own personal time to counsel you when you won't come for the corporate counseling sessions on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and when. But God's not speaking to me if you get a few more pots and bring them to the table on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Maybe there'd be somewhere, I feel a preaching storm, maybe there'd be somewhere for the oil to land in. I hear people say all the time, God's not speaking to me. I don't know why God feels like he doesn't like me. Come to church. I need more oil. No, you need a pot. Don't you worry about oil. He's got plenty of it. You just give him somewhere to pour it. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about two ears in church. I'm talking about a heart every time the doors of the church are open. Well, I had a long day at work. That's more of a reason you need to be in church. Well, I'm going through trials. That's more of a reason you need to be in church. My finances are struggling. That's more of a reason you need to tithe. See if he'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there may not be room enough to receive it. Ain't nothing like a pot that's running over with the blessings of God. But a pot can't run over if there ain't no pot. Somebody help me preach. You reckon when God filled up all those pots, she was glad she borrowed a lot? Matter of fact, I'd peradventure say she might have been thinking, boys, you sure y'all got all the neighbors? Can I tell you something? If you're waiting on God to show up, you better make sure you do everything you can do before he does, so that when he does, he has plenty to work with. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Divine intervention. God showed up. And then lastly, there was a delightful inevitability. When God provides, there's always a happy ending. I said there's always a happy ending. Don't you like to watch a movie with a happy? I mean, isn't it a letdown after you watch a great movie and it ends bad? He died? Him? Not he, can't be dead. Wake him back up. It just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Let me tell you something. When you're right with God, it always ends good. Oh, you say, preacher, But I've got family members that I prayed for that God would heal, and they never got healed. They died and went to heaven. Are you listening to what you're saying? That ended good. To be absent from the body is to be present. You say, but we're in this wicked life dealing with persecution. Ladies and gentlemen, you must have not flipped to the end of the book and read to the end of the story. The trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Wait a minute. Fast forward 7 years, 1,000 years. There's a new heaven. There's a new earth. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It always ends good with God.
It was an amazing supply.
There's something to be noted here, though. There was also an appropriate service. I imagine she was getting happy. Look here. Poor boys. Bring me another one. Poor, bring me another one. Woo! Look at all this oil we got in all these pots. Made in the shade, drinking pink lemonade. Listen to me. We got it going on. How mad is she looking at the boys going, oh, boys, we going to live good now. We got more oil than we had ever thought we could have. Has God ever blessed you so much you couldn't even hardly? Come on, somebody say amen. Sometimes I get so blessed, I feel guilty. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth. I bet she's having a hallelujah time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Look at all this oil. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And all of a sudden, I hear Elisha going, appreciate that shout, sister, but put your hand down. Go pay your creditors. Uh-oh. Some of you got quiet on me. God said, I bless you. But before you get to shouting, go pay your debts. Maybe this doesn't happen in Asheville, but I go visit hospitals and they say, preacher, if God gets me out of here, as soon as I get out, I'm coming to. It don't happen in Asheville. No. We go to the prisons. They tell us, God, have us write letters, visit them, decide, when I get out of here, first place I'm coming in. They put their name on the list. Ask the church to pray for me that God would give me a new car. God give them a car, and they won't drive to the church that was praying for them. I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm just trying to get all up in your business. And I'm trying to tell you that before you go shouting, make sure you take care of your responsibilities.
That's good.
I tell our people, a lot of the names on the prayer list at the church are from people that call in. I meet people all the time. I'm sure you do, Pastor. Strangers. Oh, you're a preacher? A reverend? This almost always they say, pray for me. Oh, pray for y'all, pray. When you go to church, pray for me. I guess I'm a little weird. I look at them sometimes and go, you ever thought about coming to church praying for yourself? A lot of people want to call in a prayer request. Why don't you bring yourself and bring your prayer request? Somebody say amen. Amen. I mean, if you're going to get blessed, I think you ought to be asking for the blessing. I'm not no pope. I got needs I need God to meet for me, too. Amen. Come on down. You're the next contestant at Pray to God. Amen.
Go pay.
And then afterwards. Live on the rest. By the way, the Bible never tells her she became a millionaire.
That's right. Good.
I don't even think she changed her level of living.
That's good, preacher.
He just taught her that you'll learn from this scenario. I'll provide, and every day you can live on my provision.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Give us this day our sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Well, Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen next year. That's why you just better serve God today.
Right. Amen.
I don't know where you are tonight, but I know everywhere I look, the people of God need him to provide. I have a mother-in-law. My mother-in-law's in Decatur, Georgia. She's battling cancer right now. She needs God to provide. He can. I said he can. But I do not want him to be waiting on me to do my part. What need do you have tonight? God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need help. God's question to you is, what do you have in your hand? Oh, he's got everything. But he wants that one thing you have. Aren't you glad tonight that the God we serve is able? Aren't you glad that the God we serve is faithful? Aren't you glad that the God we serve is gracious? Aren't you glad that the God we serve is merciful? Aren't you glad he's kind? Aren't you glad he's loving? Aren't you glad he's true? Aren't you glad he's just? Aren't you glad he's pure? Aren't you glad he's long-suffering? Aren't you glad he never changes? Aren't you glad he's ever at the same time? Aren't you glad that he has all power in his hand? Aren't you glad that he's been doing this for a long time? Then tell the reins of your brains that unequivocally God provides.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message once again in its entirety, for a free download of this message or a variety of any other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, you can visit The Preaching Channel at WGCRpreaching.net. If you don't have download capabilities, feel free to call and order a CD copy of today's message at 828-884-9427.